Hello everybody, how's it going? Welcome back to another edition of my podcast. I'm Justin Rogers, like always, and I just wanted to start this out by saying that it's been a while, and I wanted to say sorry that I haven't been able to bust out any content over these last few weeks. It's been about 3 weeks since my last podcast. I want to say it was June 2nd. That was my last upload, and a little bit about why I've been unable to upload for those of you who care. It's been busy. In the beginning of summer, when I first uploaded my first two podcasts, kind of back to back, I think it was May 30th and June 2nd, I wasn't doing anything. I didn't have a job. I didn't start my internship yet. My friends were all still in school. All that good stuff, so I had a lot of time on my hands, but that's not really the case anymore. Over the last 3 weeks, what have I been up to? Let's see. I started my internship in the city doing programming for KNBR 1050 on the Ted Ramey Show, which has been a lot of fun, learning a lot of really cool things. So I've been doing that twice a week, and between that and I've had some friends come back into town for brief periods of time, and I mean, they aren't going to be here all summer, so I figured, hey, I'll hang out with them, you know? So, I've been pretty busy lately, but it's good to be back. I didn't do anything today on this glorious Saturday. I believe it's the 25th, I want to say, yeah, June 25th. It's about 8:30 right now as I'm recording this, and I figured, hey, why not do some writing? I got some stuff to write about. It's pretty big time in the Bay Area. Warriors season, unfortunately, came to an end. So did the Sharks. Neither went the way that any Bay Area sports fan wanted to, but what can you do? You know, we are extremely fortunate for the amount of success the teams we root for have endured these last few years, starting really in 2010 with the Giants. And that's carried on with their three World Series rings. The Warriors making it to back-to-back finals, 73 wins, setting an NBA record. The Sharks making their first Stanley Cup. And, of course, in between there, the Niners went to the NFC Championship game 3 years in a row. They went to a Super Bowl in that time frame. They lost to the Ravens. So what I'm trying to get at is we're very fortunate for the amount of success we've been able to watch. It's been a privilege. I can't really think of any sports city as a whole. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but I haven't heard of any sports city with the amount of success coming out of more than one major sports team at a time, quite like the Bay Area is doing. Wow, that sounded really confusing the way I worded that. I don't know. I'm a little rusty, it sounds like. Anyways, I'm going to talk about a little bit about the Warriors. Not too much, though. Save everyone from the pain that we are all still going through at the moment. And that's another reason why I think I took a little bit of time off. I could have wrote or talked about the Warriors and their finals loss right after it happened, but I didn't want to do that. I was a little heartbroken, torn up over this loss. Didn't think it was possible that the Warriors could ever lose in a 7-game series. Especially with the way things have gone all season. They barely lost. They didn't lose 2 games in a row all season until the playoffs. And then they never lost 3 games in a row. No NBA team's ever blown a 3-1 lead in the finals. So, hey, I thought the Warriors were sitting on the top of the world. And unfortunately, that is not the case. But don't worry, I'm not going to go too far into that. We all know how the series went. But I did want to mention a couple things about the Warriors and their upcoming season, what they may be doing in free agency, and kind of what went wrong in the finals. Not too much, though, because we all know what happened. Players didn't perform. Stephen Curry, the 2-time MVP, the first ever unanimous MVP, didn't really do anything at all in the finals. He averaged 22.6 points per game, 3.7 assists per game and 4.3 turnovers. And I know maybe people may be saying, well, 22.6 points, that's not that bad. You know, you'd love for someone to contribute 22.6 points per game, but there's a difference between averaging that many points per game and when you're a role player, you're the second or third option, and when you're averaging that as the main option on the team. And that's what Steph Curry is, the MVP. He's a leader. And 22.6 points per game out of the best player on your team, the MVP, in a series of this magnitude, the finals, the biggest stage there is in sports. You know, you got to do better than that. Especially when he's averaging 30 points per game during the season. He averaged probably 6.5, 7 assists per game. To only be averaging 3.7 and turning the ball over more frequently than your assists and your point guard. I mean, come on, man. You know, we all saw what he was doing on the offensive end. Some of the turnovers he made were bonehead mistakes, throwing it behind his back, trying to get fancy, throwing these lazy lob passes. You know, you can't do that in the finals. You just can't do that. And he's only shooting 40% from inside the arc and 40% from beyond the arc when he shot over 50% overall and around 45-46% from behind the three-point line during the regular season. It's just, it's not acceptable. And it makes me wonder, was he injured? Was he fatigued? Or did Cleveland just find a way to stop him? And, hey, who knows? Could be one of those three. It could be a combination of the three. None of us will know. Steph Curry may know, but we won't. He's not going to admit that he was injured. He's resting his knee. He withdrew from Olympic consideration to rest his knee, so that shows it wasn't 100% healthy, but no excuses. If he played in the games, he should have found a way to contribute more than what he did. So that's all I'm going to say about Steph Curry. Klay Thompson, he averaged 19.6 points per game, 35% from the three, and he really only had three good games during the finals. Game four, he had 25 points. Game five, 37. Game six, he had 25. But other than that, he had efforts of scoring 10 points, 17, and 14, somewhere around there between the other four games. And that's also unacceptable, especially 35% from three. When he shoots over 40% from three for his career, you got to do better than that, man. On the biggest stage, too. It's just frustrating. So I'm going to say about Klay Thompson. Just wanted to list some of his stats. Harrison Barnes, we all know. Harrison Barnes, playoff HB, did not come to play in the finals. 9.4 points per game. 31% shooting. There's a stretch where he went 0 for 8, and then the next night, or no, he went 2 for 14. Then the next night he comes out, shoots 0 for 8. He went like 5 for his last 37 over the span of the last three games or so in the NBA Finals. A player who's entering free agency, who had a 4-year, $64 million offer on the table that he just declined. He betted on himself, and I don't think it's going to pay off, you know. He'll still probably get overpaid because he has potential. He's young. He's only 23 years old. He has moments where he's shined. He can hit the corner three ball. He's a good defender. He has length. People are going to see that, and they'll list the potential that he has, and that'll be a reason for him signing a lengthy contract. But I don't think it'll be for anywhere near what he anticipated getting by holding out and not agreeing to the Warriors' initial offer of 4 years, $64 million. Another player who I actually did enjoy watching was Draymond Green. He had a good finals, 16.5 points per game, 10.3 rebounds per game, 6.3 assists per game, The Warriors won. I think he should have got the MVP. But one thing that will always be in question is what would have happened if he never got suspended for Game 5? Would the Warriors have won that game? I can't tell you. Because LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, they both had a hell of a game. And I just don't know. Draymond Green certainly would have helped, no doubt about that. I don't think they each would have had 41 points per game, but you can't say for certain that the Warriors would have won that game with him. We'll never know, though. So that's all I'm going to say about Draymond Green. Now to the other side, I say that LeBron James deserved the MVP, 29.7 points per game, 11.3 rebounds per game, 8.9 assists per game, led all major stats, including steals per game and blocks per game. People say Kyrie deserved it. He did good. He had a phenomenal series. He averaged around 27 points per game, but he didn't lead both teams in all major stats categories. He didn't do that. LeBron James did. First ever. Can't argue about that. Kyrie did a hell of a job. Had a hell of a series. Hit some clutch shots. But LeBron James deserves the MVP. And I guess now all there is to talk about really is what will the Warriors do in free agency? We all know Kevin Durant, the big name free agent this year. Warriors are a favorite to sign him. Steph, and I think Draymond Green. I know Steph's meeting with them. They're holding in a private meeting. He agreed to a meeting with the Spurs, the Warriors, and the Thunder. And I hope for God's sakes the Spurs don't get him. I hope they don't get him. I'm tired of the Spurs finding a way to be good every year. They're so fundamentally sound, it's ridiculous. I have a lot of respect for the Spurs, but I pray to God they don't get Kevin Durant. I also wonder if OKC will get him after trading Serge Ibaka for Victor Oladipo and Ersan Ilyasova, I believe, and whoever they drafted. Sorry, I don't have that notes in front of me for the NBA draft. But I wonder if that will sway Kevin Durant in one way or the other. I don't know. I don't know what the Thunder exactly are up to with that move. But we will see. And some will definitely see next year. I'm just curious when it comes to Kevin Durant, what it's gonna take for the Warriors to land him. Because let's be honest, I think you're lying if you say you don't want Kevin Durant on your team. I can't think of a single team in the NBA who would not want him on their team. One of the best players in the NBA. You can't tell me you don't want that. The only question is, what is it going to cost you? In the Dubs case, will they have to give up Andrew Bogut, Festus Ezeli, Andre Iguodala, Harrison Barnes? What's it going to cost? Because they can't keep that same core. Obviously, if they sign Kevin Durant, Barnes is out the window. But who else is? Is Ezeli, Bogut, and Andre Iguodala? It's something you have to ask yourself. Is it worth it losing that many pieces? Who can you get to fill that void? Because Andrew Bogut, I mean, you need a center. Andrew Bogut's been solid. Kind of irritating me in the playoffs. Wasn't grabbing rebounds. Was totally getting out-muscled by Steven Adams in the OKC series. Hasn't really contributed on the offensive end. He's really only there for passing. Teams know that. The Cavs knew that. They backed off of him. They dared him to shoot it, and he doesn't. He doesn't shoot. He's not a threat on the offensive end whatsoever. So would you be willing to part with him? Maybe. He's injury prone. But can you find a center to kind of fill in that void because you need a center. The small ball lineup isn't going to work at every single time. You're going to need length at some point, which the Warriors found out the hard way in this finals. And if you get rid of Azeli too, then what? I guess you have the guy they just drafted. What's his name? Sorry, I have it written down. Can't think of his name off the top of my head. I'm drawing a blank. Damian Jones, center from Vanderbilt. They view him as more of an offensive threat. He has soft hands, it is said, and he can finish at the rim, which is something that Bogut and Azeli are lacking. Azeli, though, I'm not too quick to give up on him. He's made some boneheaded mistakes, no doubt. NBA Finals, he fouled LeBron on a three-point shot. Why are you jumping that far out on LeBron James, who's never really been a good three-point shooter throughout his career? Why are you doing that? Boneheaded play. That's all I can think about. Sometimes, he just makes boneheaded plays. He hasn't contributed too greatly on the offensive end. But I think he does have potential. I think it's just unfortunate he's had the amount of injuries that he's had. I feel like that stalled his growth quite a bit. But at the same time, I feel like he's come a long way since his rookie season, and I feel like he has room to improve. And I feel like he'll grow as a player. I don't know. Will he ever be fully healthy for a full season? It's a question you got to ask yourself. Damian Jones, like I said, the player they drafted, how high do they feel on him? They haven't seen him play in a pro game yet. I wouldn't put all my trust into him right away. So who knows what'll happen there? Who knows what it'll cost to get Kevin Durant? If you could keep Azeli or Bogut, just keep one of your veteran centers, I'd be okay with it. Kind of don't really want to lose Andre Iguodala. Just from a basketball IQ standpoint, he's your ideal NBA veteran. He may not show it in the stat book, but he contributes a ton for the Warriors, both defensively and on the offensive end, in from a passing standpoint. He just has a high basketball IQ, and I feel like he's a key player for the Warriors, a key sixth man. I don't know if they'll find a sixth man better than Andre Iguodala. But then you have to ask yourself, is he in the Warriors' plan 3 years, 5 years down the road? Maybe not. Probably not. He's only getting older. He's in his 30s. Whereas Durant, he'll be in the Warriors' thoughts for 3 to 5 years easily. They'd want to keep him, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson there long-term, as long as they can afford it, which, thank goodness the salary cap's going up to make these scenarios come true. I like the thought of Kevin Durant in the Warriors uniform. If they can find a way to do that while keeping some of their team intact or finding replacements that are serviceable, that'll make them better than they were, because the Warriors, they're deep. They're deep. They have a good bench, and I really don't want to see their whole roster depleted. They can find a way to keep some of their guys, maybe like Leandro Barbosa. I really want them to keep Iguodala. If they can find a way to keep him and get Kevin Durant, I don't care. Get rid of Barnes. You know, get rid of either Bogut or Azeli. Get rid of one of them. But I don't want them to just be stacked as a starting lineup and then have no bench. Because you got to sit your starters at some point. They can't all play 48 minutes a game. Not if you want to win an NBA title. So you got to have a bench. And that's what helped the Warriors this year. It'll be interesting, though. They've said that if they don't land Durant, they're going after other top-tier free agents. Some of those include Nicholas Batum, Evan Turner, Al Horford, Hassan Whiteside, Joakim Noah. The only one I'm really hesitant about, like really hesitant about, who I don't think they should go after is Joakim Noah. He's not the player he used to be. I don't view him as a threat anymore now. Hassan Whiteside, that dude's a beast. He averaged about, I want to say 14 points a game, 11 rebounds per game. It'll be tough to out-rebound the Warriors if they add Durant, his height, and they add Hassan Whiteside. Steven Adams won't own Hassan Whiteside on the glass. I guarantee you that. That'll be interesting. I also like Batum to fill in at the forward position, at the small forward position. He's solid. He averaged about 14 points per game. I wouldn't mind that, especially to fill in for Barnes. And if you could keep Bogut too, I'd support that. Who else did I mention? Evan Turner? I don't know. Al Horford? He's solid. It's worth a shot. I don't know, though. I want Durant. So does everyone else. But what does it take to get him? That's the main question of the sports podcast today. What would you guys give up for Durant? I know I'm asking like it's an interactive feed. Maybe if you listen this far in, which I'm hoping you do, you'll be able to tell me your thoughts. Leave a comment either on Audioboom, Facebook, Twitter, anything really. It'd be interesting. I want to find a way to make this more interactive. I don't know, though. It's not like I can do live broadcasts. At least I haven't found a way to do that yet. Anyways, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Warriors. They have a lot of free agents this year. Leandro Barbosa, Harrison Barnes, Ian Clark, Festus Ezeli, James Michael McAdoo, Brandon Rush, Mo Buckets, Anderson Varejao. So a lot of free agents for them. Harrison Barnes, Ian Clark, Festus Ezeli, James Michael McAdoo. They're restricted free agents, so they can match any offer presented. So they're less of a worry. I don't know, though. I'm willing to see them part ways with Brandon Rush, Anderson Varejao, maybe even Mo Spates. I don't know. I have a love-hate relationship with Mo Spates. He's one of those players to me that if he's not hitting his shots right out the gate, he's kind of worthless. He's not the best defender. He's pretty much a shooter, just a shooter. And if his shots aren't falling, then what? Because he's going to keep shooting. He gets the ball every time he shoots, no matter what it seems like. He's a streaky player. I don't know. I like Mo Spates, though. But then again, he frustrates me. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm interested to see what Damian Jones does. The center from Vanderbilt. Drafted in the same position Festus Ezeli was. Same college, same everything. Weird. I wonder if that's kind of a message to Bogut or Festus Ezeli saying, hey, you got to get it together. We don't care that we drafted you. We don't care that we traded for you. We don't care about your status with us because it's in jeopardy. You don't contribute. We got this guy. We got Damian Jones here to take over your position. They're not totally sold on either of them. And why should they be? Bogut, he got manhandled by Steven Adams. Festus, he didn't do anything particularly special. He made some boneheaded mistakes in the finals. These guys are both injury prone. Who knows? It could push them. It could be good for them. We'll see. We'll see. I'm interested to see what happens next season. I'm still not quite over this last season. I won't be until next season. I won't be until they win another championship. That's pretty much all I have to say about the Warriors. I do want to say congratulations to those who made the Team USA roster. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Harrison Barnes from the Warriors. They'll be joining Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins, and DeAndre Jordan, which is not Team USA's Team A roster. Definitely not. They're missing Steph, LeBron, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, guys like those. It'll still be interesting to watch. I still think that Team USA will win the gold medal. We will see. It'll be interesting to see what the Warriors players do for Team USA. Maybe it'll be a confidence boost for Barnes. Maybe his stock will improve. Probably not, because it's international basketball and you're playing against some weaker countries. But we will see. It could give him a confidence boost. You never know. That's all I have right now for talking about basketball. That actually went longer than I anticipated. Did not expect it to last almost a half an hour. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm going to pause for a brief second. It'll just sound blank for a second, and then I'll be back. I'm going to talk about the streaking Giants and their historical run that they're currently on. So I'll be right back. You're listening to Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. Welcome back to the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. It's time to talk about Giants. The Giants, as of last night, won their fourth in a row over the Phillies. They beat them 5-4. Jake Peavy got the win. He's 4-6 on the year. 7 innings pitched, 7 hits, 2 earned runs. The bullpen, they're a little shaky. Law, he had an earned run and a third of an inning pitched. So did Josh Osich. His ERA is 4.09 on the year. The Giants, they're off to on one of the best stretches and the best stretch in San Francisco franchise history. 31-9 in their last 40 games. That's their best since they were the New York Giants in 1954. They went 33-7 in a 40-game span. It's incredible to think about, especially during June, which we all know as Giants fans, infamously called the June swoon. Hasn't been the case this year. Looked like it from the start, but it's not. The Giants have been rolling. Right before they went on this 4-game winning streak, I believe they won 8 in a row, then they lost 1, and then started this streak. So they're rolling. And it's crazy to me that they're doing this with their shaky bullpen and with the injuries that they have. It's not something that I would have expected. Kane, Hunter Pence, Yuri Aldrianza, Kelby Tomlinson, Matt Duffy, Sergio Romo, all players currently on the disabled list that were on the roster opening day that are key contributors, both in the starting lineup, in the bullpen, and coming off the bench. Also, Angel Pagan. He's not hurt right now, but he was for a while. They missed him. They missed him dearly. And just because he's been rolling this year, he's batting over 280. It's a contract year for him. He's been reliable. He has 20-something RBIs. He has a few home runs, putting up good numbers. So he's important to have healthy. Hunter Pence, he won't be back until August. Torn hamstring. He was hitting really well before he went on the DL. He was hitting over 290, had 7 bombs. And then Duffy, he's been struggling, but he's still your starting third baseman. Now they have Ramiro Pena replacing him in the meantime. He just went down, so it's not like they've been missing him for a while. And Ramiro Pena's filled in nicely. He's hitting over 400, albeit he's only had 18 at-bats. And Adrianza, he's been hurt the whole year. Tomlinson, he's been out a while. It's not killer. He's not the difference maker in the Giants lineup, but he's filled in nicely coming off the bench. and pinch hitting and all that good stuff, he's missed. But the Giants, they've managed to get it done. They're 48-27 on the year, seven games ahead of the Dodgers right now, who have also been rolling. They won six in a row before losing the other night. So the Giants, they haven't been able to gain much ground with the way the Dodgers have been playing, but they've been able to gain some. And being up seven games this early in the season, it's a good sign, but keyword, this early in the season, that's a key phrase right there. Because you never know, there's still plenty of time, plenty of baseball, plenty of time for the Giants to get healthy. If they go 500 the rest of the way, they'll end up with over 90 wins. That's how good they've been playing this year. And it's not like they've been overpowering teams with their offense. Their offense has been playing well. They're not the premier run-scoring team in the NL, but they score runs when they need to. That and their starting pitching has been absolutely stellar. With Madison Bumgarner, of course, your ace. He's 8-3 on the year with a 1.85 ERA. He's actually currently pitching right now against the Phillies, so I don't have the updated stats. Johnny Cueto, he's 11-1 on the year, 2.06 ERA. And man, what a pickup that's been. I mean, we're all wondering, we all know Johnny Cueto has been an ace, one of the premier pitchers in the game during his duration with the Reds, but last year he was not his usual self. He had over 4-something ERA. He struggled with the Royals mightily, but complete turnaround this year so far. 11-1, 2.06 ERA. Nothing more you could have asked out of Johnny Cueto. And he's one of the tops in the league in both wins, number of losses, and ERA. He's one of the best. He could be in contention for the Cy Young this year. Will he win it? Probably not, but he's in discussion. And then you have Jeff Samardzija, the Shark, 8-4 with a 3.59 ERA on the year. Not as dominant as Johnny Cueto. He's been kind of up and down, especially as of late, been more on the downside. He's been giving up a lot of home runs lately, but 8-4 with a 3.59 ERA out of your three starter. I'll take it. Just look at the amount of wins between the three of them. 27 of their 48 wins have come from the top three starters of their rotation. That's pretty damn good this early in the season. Albert Suarez, another pitcher in their rotation, 3-1 with a 3.68 ERA. And what a find that's been. He's a player who hasn't had a career in the big leagues. He's a rookie. He's a journeyman. But here he is now, making spot starts. Started here as a long reliever, filling in for Matt Cain. He's done nicely. That's your fifth starter. Fourth now, it's him and Peavy flip-flop. But he's filling in the fifth starter role. Can't ask much of that. And then Jake Peavy, he's struggling more. But as of late, his last six starts, he's 3-1 with a 1.94 ERA. And he's really turned his season around. And that right there is why the Giants are rolling the way they are. Why they've won 31 of their last 40 games. Why they're 48-27 on the year already. They're starting pitching. It's just come together. Their bullpen, like I said, it's a little shaky. You have Josh Sosich, Javier Lopez. They both have 4-plus ERAs. Casilla, he's in the twos for ERA. I think he's 2.43. But he makes everything way more interesting than it needs to be, especially last night. In his save opportunity, he retired the first two batters right away. Got me thinking, hey, it's going to be an easy inning for Casilla. And then, nope, not so fast. He gives up a hit, a walk, and he hits a guy. before he gets out of the inning. It's like, Jesus, man. almost gave all of us Giants fans a heart attack. So, it's just been a little bit of a struggle. Casillas blown a couple saves. You have... I like Derek Law, though. He didn't do too well yesterday, but overall, I really like him. I like Corey Guerin. And if Osich and Lopez can get it together, then I think they'll be all right. Because you'll have Sergio Romo coming back. And like I said, Law and Guerin, they're holding it down. Suarez, once Matt King comes back, he'll go into the long relief role. He can give you some good innings. Hunter Strickland, he's been all right this year. Hasn't been great, hasn't been horrible. He's just been kind of average. If he can pick it up, you know, that'll be good for the Giants. They'll be fine. Their bullpen can pick it up. And Sergio Romo, once he gets back, if he can stay healthy, that'll be another plus. Then I don't see why the Giants can't win another World Series. Will it happen? Who knows? It's a long season. There's some damn good teams in the league. The Cubs. We'll see. The Giants, they could also add a reliever, too. They've been talking about getting Andrew Miller from the Yankees. But the question is, how much would he cost? I think he'll cost too much. He'll cost a top prospect. And I don't know if the Giants want to trade one of their top pitching prospects. They're going to need one of them eventually. With Kane and PV, they're not going to be in the Giants' plans long term. Maybe Kane more so than PV, but who knows with how often he's injured, how inconsistent he's been. So you're going to need some of your top starting pitching prospects. So I don't know if it's worth it to get Andrew Miller, especially with the way the Giants have been rolling. If the Giants were continually blowing games and they were losing these games, then maybe I'd be more pressed to find a reliever. But if they can add a solid reliever that isn't going to be too expensive, then I say, hey, go for it. You can never have too much depth. I don't know if I trade a top prospect with the way things are going, though. I don't think it's necessary. I don't know, though. We'll see. I feel like the Giants have been doing really well. As of late, they've certainly had guys to pick up, guys step in and pick up for the players who are injured. Jarrett Parker, to be specific, he's hitting .273 with 3 home runs and 8 RBIs. The only problem with him is he swings at curveballs in the dirt constantly and strikes out too much. But hey, he's what, your 5th outfield option when everyone's healthy? Not too bad, .273. And then you have Mac Williamson, who he's kind of struggled this year. He hasn't had the best start to his major league career. He's hitting .240 with 3 home runs. 2 home runs. But he's been playing well as of late. He's been playing better. He had a home run in the game the other night, I believe. So you have guys filling in. And then they've also talked about trading for players such as Jay Bruce, who's having a phenomenal year with the Reds, and Yunel Escobar for the Angels, who's hit over .300 the last 2 years combined. But I wouldn't trade top prospects for these guys with the way the Giants have been playing. I just think it's unnecessary. I like Jay Bruce, but I don't think you need him with the way Pagan's been playing. What are you going to do, send him to the bench? I mean, that'd be a hell of a 4th outfielder, but I just don't think it's necessary to do that. I really don't. I'm interested to see what happens, though, the rest of the year. I'm anxious to see how the Giants play from here on out, how long they'll keep this streak going. If they come down, when they come down, most likely, because baseball is a long season and people are prone to going on hot streaks and cold streaks. It's inevitable. It's the way the game goes. It's just a matter of when and how much it'll be. And we'll see when the Giants come back down to earth, if they do. I hope they don't. It'd be nice to see them roll this way the rest of the season. I'd have no complaints whatsoever. But we'll see what happens when all their players come back, when they get healthy, if they make any moves, big moves, small moves. I'm interested to see what they'll do, because the Giants, they always make some kind of move to better their team at the trade deadline. It's never the sexy move. It's never the big blockbuster trade. It's always just some guy that you're like, all right, we'll see how this works out. And then it usually benefits the Giants. So we'll see if they'll be able to repeat that magic. I hope so. I love this baseball season. I want to see how long Bumgarner and Johnny Cueto can roll. I have to get to a game and watch Cueto pitch one of these days. That's my goal for the summer, to see Johnny Cueto pitch at AT&T Park. I'm going to try and make that happen. Because I've seen Bumgarner. I went to the game against the Red Sox with my girlfriend not that long ago. Earlier in the month. And Bumgarner pitched a gem, and it was a hell of a game. But I want to see Cueto. I feel like he's entertaining to watch. He sure as hell is on TV. I feel like he'd be even more entertaining in person. That's a goal of mine. As you can tell, I'm coming to the conclusion of the third installment of the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. Still haven't thought of a name. I guess we're rolling with this one. That's really all the time I have. I did not anticipate talking Warriors for that long, so I apologize to anyone who is not over the finals loss yet. And thank you all again for listening. Sorry, it's been a while since my last podcast. I've been busy. I'm going to try and get these out to you guys more regularly than I have been. So just stay tuned. I'm going to try and get another one out within the next week or so. Probably going to focus primarily on Giants. Maybe by the next time I upload a podcast, free agency for the NBA will be in full swing, and we'll see what the Warriors are up to, if there's any big transactions, any big free agent signings. We'll see, though. We'll see. I'm probably going to start talking a little more about the Niners, too, because I haven't given them much love. There's not really much love to give them. Not much is going their way. I'm not anticipating a lot this season, but I'm going to have to talk about them eventually, especially with preseason starting in August. There will be more Niners stuff. I just haven't really felt the need to talk about them yet. There haven't been any major news surrounding them. Anyways, that's it for the third episode of the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. Thank you again to anyone who takes time out of their day to listen to me ramble on about sports. I really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy. I hope you have a good rest of your weekend and a good rest of your week, 2 weeks, depending on whenever I upload again. So thank you, and have a good rest of your day.